February the 18th, 2004, and Kathleen O'Neill Rhinelander is being interviewed for the Women's Overseas Service League in San Antonio, Texas. Ruth Stewart is the interviewer. Kathy, would you start by telling us a little bit about where you were born and about your growing up days?
I was born in Seguin, Texas. My parents moved to New Braunfels when I was a year old. My dad worked at the textile mill in New Braunfels for 42 years, and my mother worked in the school, in the cafeteria for the school. It was a cook after my sister and I were old enough to go to school. I graduated from New Braunfels High School in 1966. And I actually really didn't know what I wanted to do, only that I wanted to go to college. And my senior year in high school, we had an Army recruiter that came and talked to us about the Walter Reed Army Institute of Nursing. And so it sounded like something great for me. It was going to pay for my education, and I would go in the military, which sounded like something that I would like to do. So I applied for the program and actually found out that I was accepted in the program on my senior trip. So my parents actually called me and told me that I had been accepted into the program. So then I went to Southwest Texas my freshman year for college, and then I went to the University of Maryland my sophomore year, and then transferred to the University of Maryland at Walter Reed, and that's where I graduated from in 1970 from the program there.
And did you then go directly into some kind of military training from your nursing?
Right. We graduated the end of May of 1970, and then we went to basic training at Fort Sam in July, and I was assigned to Fort Sam. I worked in on 42E, which was in the old Beach Pavilion, and I was a staff nurse. That was a female orthopedic, neurosurgery, ENT. I think there were like seven different services that we had on that floor at the time, because that was, Vietnam was still going pretty good, so all the women were kind of put on one floor. So I worked there until I was really interested in community health nursing. I'd had a couple of really good instructors in during my nursing. When I was at Walter Reed, we actually did training down at Fort Belvoir, and so I really wanted to go into community health nursing. So I was accepted into the program and started that in 1971. So I was at BAMC for about a year, and then I went into the community health nurse program, and I actually went through the school at Fort Sam for that, and then I was transferred to Hawaii. And when I was in Hawaii, I did community health nursing there. I lived off base. Most of the nurses could live off if they wanted to. I was single, and I had an apartment in Honolulu, and we traveled all over the island actually doing home health visits, and primarily we did well baby, because we had 350 deliveries a month at Tripler at that point. So we did a lot of expectant parents classes and a lot of well baby clinics, and we did some other communicable disease things and things like that too. But I did a lot of traveling, taught a lot of classes up at Schofield Barracks, which was basically in the middle of the island. And as far as other things, I traveled a lot when I was there. I had friends that were stationed in Bangkok, Thailand, so I went to Thailand and visited them. I had a friend in Okinawa, went to Okinawa, took trips to Japan, and so took advantage of being able to travel some when I was there for the 2 years. And then
while you were in Hawaii itself, were there activities there that you did off-duty time?
I spent a lot of time at Fort Jerusy Beach. Actually, I remember one time, which was really kind of fun. We took, they were looking for nurses to volunteer to take some of the Vietnam casualties that were patients at Tripler. We went down to Fort Jerusy, actually, and the Smothers Brothers, and there was some kind of special that they were having for TV. So we were down there kind of chaperoning the patients and got to listen to the show that they were putting on. They actually taped it for television. And so, and then there were a lot of different, I mean, the Navy was there, and we did, a lot of times they would find nurses to go to some of the other, they had did joint training exercises with people from, our ships were from Australia and New Zealand and stuff like that, and they would have parties, and they would invite the nurses to go to those parties. And you know, I traveled, I had a lot of family. My parents came over for their 25th wedding anniversary, and I took them around the island, so I was sort of the unofficial tour guide for, and some of my other parents' friends would come over, and I took them, and my sister came over, and so I did a lot of visiting of different places around the island, to the Polynesian Cultural Center and Pearl Harbor, and visited all the other islands with nurse friends. We would go, and I like to swim. I did not learn to snorkel, which was something I really kind of, well, I snorkeled, but not scuba dived. But I kind of regret not doing that. But I had a lot of company when I was over there, and other friends, high school friends that would come over and visit. So I knew the island pretty well by the time I left 2 years later. So it was a great assignment, and got to see a lot of the Far East too.
Okay, so then you left there in
73, and I went to Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, which was a single community health nurse slot there. So I was the only community health nurse there. So my assignments were a lot more varied there. I did home visits, but I did a lot of clinics. We had TB clinics, and we still did Well Baby, and we still did expectant parents classes, but we had, I did STD stuff there I had not done before. And so we were sort of a jack of all trades, whatever they needed us to do. We did some prevention stuff. People were getting more into teaching about the smoking and the problems of smoking and stuff. So the community health were actually, at that point, I think, was getting more into doing more preventive classes and stuff, not just doing more of the education stuff, but some of the prevention kind of things too. Unfortunately, I did a lot of child abuse cases too. A lot of guys coming back from Vietnam that had trouble really adjusting, and we had quite a bit of problems with that. And that's really, I think, part of the reason that I decided that I would get out. So I got off of active duty at that point. I had done, I did 2 years there, and so then I went off of active duty and went into the reserve. And I was...
And that was...
75. And I came down here to San Antonio. One of my friends from school had moved down here too. Her husband was going to, I think, I'm not sure exactly. Anyway, they've moved down here. And so she was originally from Idaho, and she found out I was coming back. And so she was the one that really told me to join, got me into joining the reserve unit. Because I had, with the Walter Reed program and the active duty, I had 10 years of active duty time already. So I joined the reserve unit here, and it started out very, very small. We only had maybe 10 people drilling here when I first started in 75. And we were actually, part of the 94th General Hospital out of Mesquite, Texas, which is right outside of Dallas. And we eventually became a detachment, and we were detachment one of the 94th. I was there and worked on orthopedic floors and just worked on the weekends, just did regular nursing, clinical nursing on the weekends, until I got married in 1979. And my husband had been in the Air Force, but had gotten out years before. I was actually working at that time for EDS, Electronic Data Systems, out of Dallas, and I was doing the, I was utilization review manager for the Texas Medicaid program in Austin. And I went to work for them actually after, when I got out. Yeah, well, I'd gone to school for a year, and 75, 76, I went back to school. And decided to, I didn't really, I was looking at doing something different other than nursing. I kind of got burned out being at, being in New Jersey and with a lot of the child abuse stuff and the lack of support of the community and things. So I decided to get to do something different, but I decided I didn't really want to do that either. So that's why I went to work for EDS and I did utilization review for Medicaid stuff. And we got married. I met my husband there, and I got married in 79, and we were asked to go to Alabama with the Alabama Medicaid program. The EDS had gotten a contract there, so I went as kind of the back-end manager. I was responsible for all of the refunds and adjustments for Medicaid, the provider file, utilization review. I had a couple of nurses. We reviewed programs and things like that for program the Alabama Medicaid program. And I joined a reserve unit there, which was totally different than the reserve unit here. It was with the Tuskegee Institute. And Tuskegee was, and you know, I don't remember the name of the unit. It was a... it was not a general hospital. It was a field hospital, I believe. I don't remember the number of it, but it was rather interesting. There were five of us that were white, and the rest were all black. So I got my first taste of a little reverse discrimination, if you want to call it that. But the people were educated, and they were nice. I mean, we didn't really do much but sit in the reserve unit on the weekends, which... I was there for 2 years, and I left, and then we moved back to Dallas, and I got back into the 94th General Hospital in the reserve unit there, transferred back into that unit.
97th?
Yeah, 94th General. And that was the main unit out of Mesquite.
That's the same one you had been in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just in the detachment in San Antonio.
Okay.
And that was in, let's see, that was in 81. That was when my daughter was born. We moved out there in 79 and moved back in 81. And my daughter, I had a daughter. My daughter was born in Alabama in 81, my first one, Katie. And right after she was born, we were offered another job through EDS. Both of them, my husband and I both were working for EDS back in the headquarters with EDS in Dallas. And I went to work then with marketing support and actually wrote proposals bidding on Medicaid programs throughout the country. And then I was with the 94th there, and while I was there, I worked at the VA in Dallas on the weekends and was there until 85. And my husband got transferred back to Dallas, back to San Antonio, well, back to New Braunfels. Actually, he took a job in New Braunfels. He got a job working for the county in New Braunfels. So we moved back to New Braunfels where my parents were. And I transferred to Detachment 1 of the 94th. And then I worked again on the floors at BAMC, and then I started doing officer evaluation reports. I was worked in administration. I was a lieutenant colonel by then when I got back. I guess I made major in Alabama, and then after being back here and then when I got promoted, then I kind of came off the floor and started doing more administrative stuff. And I did the officer evaluation report. And then we were activated, and we moved back in 85, and in 90, we were activated for Desert Storm. And we went to Germany.
That was in
90.
90. You say actually we mean reserve 91. Unit?
My reserve unit, right. The whole 94th General Hospital was activated, and it was actually in January of 91. And so we were at Camp Bullisburg in the middle of January, which was very cold, and we were there for about 10 days, I think, and just getting ready to be deployed overseas, because we knew we were going to Germany, and then we were going to be split up when we got to Germany, and we backfilled the hospitals because the people in Germany had been sent to the desert. So, and we were all sick by the time we got, because it was so cold out there. And so we left Kelly Air Force Base on the 16th of January, and that was the night that they started bombing. And so when we landed, everything was like shut down, and people didn't know we were coming, and of course everything was under high alert because we had just started, you know, bombing in Kuwait. And so it was an interesting night. They couldn't get us. We sort of got assigned to different places, and I was assigned to Wurzburg, and which was about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive, I guess, and they loaded us all up on buses and headed us down that direction. And we got there about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. There was like nobody knew what to do with us, so they put us on some of the old empty wards at the hospital, and they said somebody figure out what to do with you in the morning. So we were all, because we'd been up for like 2 days flying and all that. So, but it turned out, you know, the people were really very friendly, and the staff was really good. And so we went through a couple of days of orientation, and we all got assigned to the wards. And that hospital was really interesting because it had just opened a brand new hospital in August of that previous year. And so it was built in the back, in the old hospital, which was the old Wurzburg Hospital, which was a German hospital during World War II. They built the new hospital sort of in the center. The hospital was way up on a hill, and it was in a semicircle. So that, and they had big windows that you could open up on both sides, and the wind, you know, you could just, the breeze could blow through there. Of course, it was winter when we got there, but they put us out on those old floors. So, but then, you know, we got assigned to the new hospital, and we got not really very busy, which was, we were very grateful for. We had some casualties come back. I worked on a surgery floor, but the primary injuries went to Lange Stuhl and stuff, and the only people that we really got were people that were normally stationed there. So we had some women come back that had gotten pregnant and had problems, or and we had some casualties, but not very many. But we were assigned to start working on opening up all the old wards because they expected to have a lot more casualties than we did. But by, what, April, March, I guess, or so, it was pretty well over. But we couldn't go back, and they wouldn't let us go back home until they closed everything out in the desert and moved the people back so that they could come back to their original positions at the hospital. So we came back to the States probably in, I think it was the end of April. We got to come home.
That's 91.
91, yeah.
So you were only there a few months.
Yeah, just a few months, and we got to come home. I got actually, after we knew that they had pretty much surrendered and the thing was pretty well over, we were just kind of waiting for people to come back, they let me work in the community health nurse with the community health nurses because they really had more than they needed on the floors. And that was really interesting. I got to see some of the clinics, the outlying clinics, and the community health nurses were real happy to have me there because I could do some of the classes and stuff too. So I kind of got some of the cobwebs out and did some new parents classes and some expectant parents classes. It was fun. It was a good experience, and I got to see a lot of the outlying clinics and everything. And I now look back at that and wish I'd have had a tour over there. But anyway, so when I got back, I had had a total of right at 25 years, between 15 years in the reserves and 10 years active duty. So I had a four-year-old at the time, so she had been back at home, and I kind of promised her that I would get out when I got back. So, and I always laughed because when I was on the bus going out to the airport to get on the plane to go to Germany, there was a young soldier that was sitting next to me, and he said, "You know, my dad was in Vietnam, and now I'm going to be in the war." And I was like, "Okay, it's time for me to retire." So anyway, but it was. I have lots of fond memories of being in the military, and I have a lot of good friends that I still keep up with. So,
tell me a little bit about your how you. Well, of course, you got your college education because of the military.
Right.
Are there other things that you feel that you gained from your military that are a part of you or a part of your life at this point?
Oh, I think, a lot of friends. I still keep in touch with a lot of the people because the brain program that I was in, there were people that, the girls that came there were from all across the United States and from all walks of life. There were a lot of girls that were there whose parents were military. We had actually the Surgeon General's daughter was one of the girls that graduated with me, Carolyn Taylor, and her dad was Surgeon General, I think, at the time, or became right quickly after that. And then there were people like me that, my dad was in World War II, but, that was really all the military that I had. And I had grown up in a very small town, and I think my ability to travel and to see the world, and I think I'm a lot more tolerant than living back in New Braunfels after all these years. It's very interesting. I think that has given me, besides just the friendships and everything, but just being tolerant and being able to accept people of different cultures and different skin color and whatever, to learn that, the differences and that great experience to be able to do that. In Hawaii, you think of all Hawaii, but I had a lot of friends of Japanese descent and Chinese and Samoan and the whole, that part of the world. I think that's been one of the big things. Plus, just the friendships that I've kept over the years too. And sometimes it's kind of fun to sit and talk to somebody because a lot of the people that I have in New Braunfels have not left New Braunfels. And so I think it's made me a much more well-rounded person and certainly a much more well-educated person in the truest sense, I think.
Were there any experiences that you would like to reflect on now, either that had a particular impact on you or were particular challenges? Or even maybe humorous.
Oh, gee. I always have to tell I don't tell the story very often, but I think it was kind of when I was doing in New Jersey. I did communicable disease clinic, and we did. The TB clinics and all that stuff. And I had sometimes had to interview people with sexually transmitted diseases and whatever and doing some of the research on that and doing the epidemiology part of that too. So they kind of knew who I was there. And one day I had this young teenage couple came in and they were in the, and the boy said, "I think I have a problem. I think I have a problem." And I said, "Well, do you have a discharge?" And he said, "Oh, no, I've never been in the military." And I tried so hard not to laugh or anything because he was so embarrassed that he had to come visit me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I always remember that. That's a funny story. And I just did a lot of, as far as work goes, I think the challenge was the young women, mainly dependents, that were so far away from home having their first babies, not having any kind of family support, and particularly in Hawaii because it was so beautiful there and everybody wanted to come there, but it was very expensive, and we had people literally living in homes where the floor was dirt. And because they, you know, didn't, they couldn't afford anything else, or they were living with other families, or even the military base housing, because of all of the tropical climate, you had a lot of bugs and a lot of, and they were just overwhelmed on how to, you know, deal with that kind of thing. So I think it was, I never realized, you know, how difficult, and these were young, young kids that were over there, and some of them had a couple of kids and were very isolated too. So that was, I think, a real challenge, but it was very rewarding because they, I spent a lot of time on the phone and I do a lot of visits and that kind of thing that we could, but I really felt like we made an impact in being able to help a lot of the kids that were over there, and they were literally kids. They weren't that much older than me, but then I didn't have a couple of kids either, so, and a lot of them just came because, you know, it was an exciting adventure, and when they got there, they realized that they couldn't really enjoy it because it was so expensive, and really, they had no way really of getting back home because it was very expensive, too, so I think that was, I think, probably my most rewarding time. I do remember when we had a lot of the POWs come back from Vietnam because we had a whole ward. I wasn't really personally involved in that, but we did have, when they started releasing a lot of the POWs from Vietnam, I remember the days when
you mean our American?
Right, our American POWs, yeah. They were coming back and they had a special ward for them, and they, of course they had to do all the debriefings and the medical follow-up. I mean, we got them several days or weeks down the road, but they were still recuperating and stuff there. So I can remember we had, you know, that happening. I remember we had an earthquake there one day when I was walking from the main hospital down to where our offices were. Actually, I was walking from our offices to that main hospital, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, what happened? What happened? I never felt a thing because I was walking outside and I never felt it. I was in a hurry. So, that's about it I can think of.
After you left the reserve, did you join any military or veteran organizations?
I belong to the American Legion. I belong to the Military Officers Association. I belong to the American Legion because my dad was always real involved in that. And when I got back, he really encouraged me to do that, you know, to become part of that. And actually, I had been part of it growing up because we would go to the Christmas dinners and the things as a child. I would go to a lot of their functions.
Now, tell me, could you join the regular American Legion at that point? Because that there was a time in the past when women, even though they were active military, had to be in the auxiliary?
I joined,
I've heard that.
Yeah,
anyway.
Now, I didn't really join when I guess I joined in... when we moved back, so that would have been 85 or so. And my parents' neighbor, who was my neighbor, my parents lived in the same house for 50, my mother still lives there, 50 some odd years. So I moved there when I was a year old, and my mom still lives there. So the neighbor that lived next door was the adjutant there, and he was, in fact, they've named, he and his wife died earlier, and his, they never had any children, so he donated his whole house and everything to the American Legion. I mean, that's how involved he was in the program. And he's the one who said, well, you can join, and you can be a regular member. So from the time I joined in 85, I was a regular member.
It was after the women's movement, really.
Yeah,
taken
hold,
I think
so.
I think.
That's
yeah.
probably true.
Yeah.
And then I joined Lyndon Anderson, who...
Mm-hmm.
As part of WSL, as a member of our church, and she knew of my, well, the church, when we were gone to Desert Storm, the church, you know, they did a lot of things that were with everybody that was gone over there, and they knew, I guess that's when Lyndon really knew, learned who I was, when I was gone to Desert Storm. And, of course, my kids were little, and they were involved in the church and everything, so they did a lot of things to remember us with, So when I got back from Desert Storm, Lyndon talked to me about joining WSL. So, and I've been a member of that since I got back, which was, what, 91, 92, I guess, about when I joined.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's been fun, too. I've met a lot of really nice people in that organization, too. I think that's pretty much it. I still work, and I have been working for the past 15 years. I guess the last 15 years or so, I work for... a company called IntraCore, and I do rehab case management part-time, and I will probably work for them for a few more years till I can retire. And then probably, hopefully, I can get more involved in what WSL and some of the other organizations will do. And then I'll have my baby daughter will be off to college, hopefully.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy, for all this information, a very interesting tour that you've had and an interesting life. And we appreciate your recording this as part of our Women's History that's going to the Library of Congress. Thank you very much.